Visit our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew.
Become friends with us on MySpace at MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade, as well as on Facebook. You can even find our Twitter accounts on our official homepage.
And don't forget to check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI for another side of news and review, including their own glorious podcast show.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 96, Razor Slim Jim to the Sky.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, for Boston.
Bastards and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade. I'm King Baby Duck,
Blonick,
Mr. Cuse,
Anvil.
Interesting week we've been having, especially in the whole sports world, but I know we like to usually do some banter stuff, but I'm kind of on a blank slate right here. Like,
dude, what do you mean banter? Dude, come on. We could, easily we could transcend this one right into sports.
Okay, how?
Macho Man, Randy Savage.
All right. That's right.
Because of wrestling, I don't know if you can count it as a sport anymore, but apparently we do.
Well, yes. Back in the day, you could.
Back in the day, yes. Yeah, because they were actually doing it. It's not all these rambling where South Park has it right now, where they're just like,
doing plays.
I totally fucked your like girl in the back room and blah, 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 this and that. Oh my god, you whore, don't make me kick your ass.
It's like, you have a 4-hour event and there's 3 fights.
Yeah, basically.
It's like watching an opera.
With the exception of the pay-per-view where there's like 7 or 8 matches.
Over 90 hours.
Exactly. So it's one of those things where it's been drawn out. It's not the wrestling. It's not the WWF that I remember.
I know when we were kids, you know, we got, what, like 12 fights a night?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be like drama, 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 and then maybe a fight, and then drama.
I remember I used to watch it every, I believe it was Sunday afternoon, 1 p.m. It went WWF Wrestling and then Monster Trucks.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, truthfully, when we were kids, players got hurt, or fighters got hurt, you know, especially guys like Mankind and stuff, fighters died.
Hurt.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that wasn't part of a match. That was an accidental dropping
from the ceiling, but
show me any fighter now that would be willing to be lowered from a ceiling.
None.
And
I
then
mean, it just, it's not the wrestling it used to be, I mean. Yes, they're able to sell the clothes, and they're able to, you know, get, you know, the women to like the stuff because of the guys with the big muscles and shit.
And us guys, because they put more women with less clothing. When we were kids, there were like 5 or 6 women. Now there's like a zillion of them.
Okay, we had like Miss Elizabeth. We had
Sable.
We had Jacqueline.
I guess you could count China after a while.
Yeah, China. China's actually back in TNA wrestling.
Oh, well, that's good.
She's still buff.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, I used to
feel a little fucked up.
Back when I used to lift and I was all jacked up, I'm like, I'll never compare to China.
but it's sad to see another one of the great wrestlers go. I mean, it seems
the way he did go.
Yeah, he went in a car accident, of course, of all things. At least it wasn't like, what's his name, that killed his family and then himself.
Oh, Chris Benoit.
Benoit was an asshole.
They actually believe that he had a heart attack while driving, and that's what caused him to crash.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
It's not been confirmed, but it's one of those things that, you know, they believe.
Yeah, apparently one of our viewers says that China has a dick. But yeah.
Nope.
Yes, she does.
How would your viewers know that?
There's a porno. Anyways.
Oh, okay.
She made one with Screech from Saved by the Bell.
I thought it was X-Pac.
No, it was X-Pac.
Wait,
I was making fun of Screech.
So Screech screeched when he saw the...
He went, that's bigger than mine!
I'll take it! And he bent down and threw the Vaseline on.
Oh, jeez.
That's right. So, you know, another true legend of wrestling has passed away. And truthfully, For the younger generations who never got a chance to see him wrestle, he'll always be remembered for one of the best lines ever.
Ooh, yeah!
Snap into a Slim Jim?
Yeah, but I was trying to do the voice until he cut me off.
Snap into a Slim Jim!
Not even close.
Jesus.
Snap into a Slim Jim.
No, that's not even close.
That was closer. At least I got raspiness to the voice.
All right, well, but for the most part, yeah, it's sad to see him go, but apparently it seems like, you know, every week now we're losing, like, a wrestler, so anybody put up any bets for the next one?
Well, I think we should discuss this one after. considering, you know, through all the sports, we've actually lost 3 athletes.
It's getting to the point where it's like, wow.
Because, you know, we lost, you know, Bugart from the Rangers.
Yeah.
We lost Box, who is a Oklahoma linebacker.
Yep.
And then losing him.
Yeah.
Now the autopsy results for Bugart came back.
Oh, no.
For the injuries he had sustained, they gave him oxycodone.
Oh, shit.
And he was drinking alcohol, and bad mix killed him.
Mm-hmm. Yes, alcohol and pills are bad, people. Don't do alcohol at the same time you do pills. Unless you really want to die. And make it look like an accident. Anyways.
So it was ruled accidental. And then, you know, Box, you know, they found him unresponsive. So we're waiting for the results of him. He was a, you know, young Oklahoma University linebacker. Getting ready for a senior year. And now he's gone.
I mean, that's really sad because look how young he is. He's a, you know, he's from Oklahoma. He's in college. It seems even worse to me if you're that young and, you know, has a career ahead of him, maybe, so.
I don't know. I'd be depressed if I played for Oklahoma, too. I mean, it's sad everybody made fun of him. You know, saying that Jason White wasn't that good of a quarterback, but once he left, they couldn't win nothing.
Yeah.
At least he got him to national championships, and where's Jason White now? Not playing in the NFL.
Yeah.
I have no clue where he is.
He's MIA.
I gotta look that one up later.
Look up which one?
Jason White.
Jason White?
He was a backup at one point, wasn't he, when he first came?
He never got drafted, as far as I know.
Oh. All right, so next. Keep going with sports.
He's a business owner in Oklahoma.
Yeah, see? He's not even playing football anymore. All
right.
He owns a business. All right, so... Start with the Sox.
Okay. We start with the...
Wait, Sox or
Brew?
Bruins.
Okay. So, the Bruins...
No. All right, no. This is actually... It's okay. It's okay right now because of the fact that, you know... They lost the first one, you know, those two, and then they just lost it yesterday. So it's okay.
We still need a back-to-back
win. Okay. We'll have a back-to-back win, and we'll be all set.
That's the way we win it.
So basically, the Bruins got out to early, you know, they're up 3-0 in the second period. They scored their first goal in about 30 seconds. It looked like they're in control. And Bergeron had 2 goals, which is a really good sign. And Ryder scored a goal. But then from there on in, it looked like the Bruins were kind of lifeless. Thomas gave up a couple goals he usually give up, and it seemed like the Lightning were just attacking, you know, every time they had the puck. And they scored 5 unanswered goals to win the game 5-3. Eric Gagne had, you know, goal to give them the, you know, he scored the goal that was a clincher, and then they got an empty net.
A little bit of history on this one.
Yeah.
Last year... When we lost to Philly in that, you know, reverse sweep, Gagne is the one that scored the go-ahead goal against us in that final game. He knows how to get us. But truthfully, like, we almost had a comeback at the end, and their goalie got so lucky it's not even funny. Because they pulled Rolison in the first.
Yeah.
Which I was making fun of him because, you know, like, when you're a rookie, they take your picture, and that's when they use for the rest of your career. Well, poor Rolison was this little blonde kid, and he looked so innocent. He
looked like a bitch.
And they showed his picture, and he takes off the helmet, he's got the long, grungy hair now, his goatee's grayish, and he looks like, you know, Jack the Ripper. Like, if you were casting for Jack the Ripper, you could give it to him. You know, and he had that tough guy look. I'm like, damn, he went from looking like a bitch to Mr. Tough Guy. But, you know, we went to put one in at the very end, and dude literally pinned it between the skate and the... pull.
Jesus.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, you know, they brought Mike Smith in, and he played a lot better than their top goalie, and it just they might play him for the next game because he hasn't given up a goal the whole series.
They made the announcement this morning that Rolison's playing
there. Did they? Okay. Well, whatever it was, he got a little lucky, but I still thought it seemed like he shut us down pretty well, and he was in control while I was in the game. So their goalie switch worked pretty well for them, I thought. And, you know, we did have some chances, but didn't it seem to you, Anvil, kind of like after we have those three goals, we had those two power plays after we had scored three, mm-hmm. and we couldn't capitalize, and we could have put the game away, and it just seemed like we really needed to at least score on one of those.
Yeah, exactly. We could have, you know, easily done it then. But I find it funny that we couldn't score on our own power plays, but we scored on their power play.
Shorthanded, yeah.
When Bergeron picked their pocket.
That's the one thing I don't get about the Bruins. This is what I've been saying for the last couple of weeks now, or, well, for a while now with the Bruins. It seems that whenever they get on the power play, that's when I go, oh shit, we're not going to get a fucking goal. And then when the other team gets on a power play and we get the shorthanded goal, it's like, all right, I'm confused here. So maybe we should just start playing one man less on the fucking rink because of the fact that we're not good when we've got five guys total on the freaking ring.
Yeah, and we've had a lot of power plays. We've only scored in a couple, and it's crazy. You got to capitalize on those.
To look it up, we're not even, you know, that high up in the list of like power play goals just because of the fact that, you know, those are the essential things that we have to get down pat. I mean, if this year doesn't go through, which I think we're going to at least be able to take on the next at least win one more game here. But for the most part, it seems like it's like, what the fuck? I think what we need to do is get get the coach to friggin' step in and say, all right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do some power play opportunities. Let's, you know, get people in the nets and let's, you know, try to figure this out a little bit better. Because our strong point is not the power plays. So whenever a power play comes up, it goes, oh shit, here it goes again. We're going to get fucked. So I think we need to, you know, definitely start working on the weaker points of our job and of the hockey and level it off. We want to be, you know, one complete team.
Yeah,
it's just the way that, you know, sports are. You need to be a level, you know, play and whatnot. You can't just have everything go good and have that one weakness, because I think that's one of their biggest weaknesses right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, for the first few rounds, they hadn't even scored a power play goal at all, and you can't win the Stanley Cup without scoring on those. You got to take advantage of that advantage, you know. It's like in all sports, it's like when Rondo went down, did the you know, Celtics start winning? No, they lost because they had some guy playing with one arm.
Well, they won that night, right? Yeah, but for the most part, it's
the series.
It seems like we have to either injure our players or do something along the lines of taking one person out, and then we start playing better. But as the, you know, the groups that they have from first line to third line, they do fine. It's just the transferring. I don't know. It's not meshing well right now. I think that's our only issue that we're having.
Yeah, I mean, truthfully, we got lucky that first round because we're the first team to ever win a playoff series without, you know, a power play goal.
Yep.
So, you know, only so much we can do. We'll see where everything goes the rest of the series. We're only four games in. We've got three more. So by the next time we sit down to do a show, we'll know. Because we've got, what, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Yeah, hold on. I got it right here. Yeah, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So by next week, we'll know what's going on, especially on the other aspect of, the Western
Conference. The Western Conference.
Yeah, Western Cup. Yeah,
and the Sharks.
Sharks.
Which Vancouver is leading.
Which I think that's the only other thing is with the Sharks there. They're fucking up. And I would hate to see that happen because, you know, I thought that, you know, they were doing pretty good this season and whatnot. But I think it's pretty funny where the coach has to go on TV and ridicule the shit out of them to win.
Yeah.
And that's sad. That is, it's kind of sad where they're just like, yep, the other team is better than us. I don't know what to do. You know what, I'm just going to go home and say fuck you later. You know, that's basically when I saw the conference, that's what he said. But apparently it helped because they won the other night.
4-3, Though they were winning big and then they almost, yeah, no, you're right, they did win, but they're up 3-0.
It's scary when you get like how the Bruins were. You know, they were like, yeah, we're up 3-0, and that's the worst thing that can happen is just the team drops off. It's just like, yep, we've got this in the bag. No, you don't have it in the bag until the friggin' fat lady sings.
Yep.
I mean, if you tell me there's, you know, 3 seconds left in the game, and you're up by 6 goals. I'll tell you, you got, you know, it in the bag.
Yeah. But you can't be complacent. That's what I think they were. They were, oh, we're up 3-0. We're going to stop attacking. We're not going to be as aggressive. You have to be aggressive the whole entire game till yeah. the last till right. the period. You can't game
I think Tim Thomas is more aggressive than the players that were on the ice.
Yeah, man, he had some yeah. good hits last night.
Yeah.
There was one where the guy was shoving into Thomas. Thomas punches him in the belly and then punches him in the face and knocks him into his own guy to drop him.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah! Because the guy kept, Thomas had the puck. Guy's like trying to hit it away from him. Thomas punched him in the belly, punched him in the face. He fell on the Ryder. Ryder puts him in like a headlock and drops him. I'm like, yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, the goalies get, you know, destroyed in the, whenever the puck goes near them. I don't blame them, yeah.
When the guys go hard to the net, yeah, goalie like, you cannot stand for that shit. You have to fight.
And, you don't need push over. Otherwise, they're going to do it every single time to you.
So.
Thomas is an old school version of a goalie, though, because he plays like the old school goalies. He'll fight you.
Yeah.
He may not be the best at it, but he'll fight you.
Well, isn't there a movie or something like that? Or they were talking about a video that was made about going through the years of being goalies and whatnot and talking about the masks and whatnot, like from the old like ones that wrapped around your face, basically,
yeah.
that looked like Jason, and to now where they're a hell of a lot more comfortable and you're yeah. able to see a lot more.
Yeah,
yeah. I think there was a player, I forget who the player was, but there's a goalie that actually wore one of those, you know, Jason masks.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, oh my God, this is so goddamn scary. It didn't look scary.
I'd be the jerk to make my goalie stick look a little bit like a machete.
Oh, jeez.
Like just paint the machete halfway down. Dude's coming. And he just stops.
No, but that was the other thing was with Tim Thomas and whatnot. When you're watching him play, he's been very aggressive. When I was able to watch, I wasn't able to watch the last game, but the game before that, he was wicked aggressive, but also I think he was taking a little bit too much of chance when he was going out about 6 feet off the actual.
Yeah, to the very edge of the line.
When you go from the blue, when you go from his blue space right there, and he's 6 feet out, and he's able to, yeah, he's able to stop the puck, but sometimes if that bounces back wrong, he's fucked. But he's just an acrobat whenever it comes to like the you know playing the hockey, which is great, but it's still scary.
See, like there was one play yesterday where Rolison, who you know knows how to play you know the area, and he knows how the arena works. Had he come out more, we would have had another goal. Because one of our guys bounces it off the board, it rolls on him, and he still barely stopped it before going in. It was a bounce.
Yeah. But when they won 1-0 the second to last game, I was on edge the whole freaking no was it what two. I thought it was 2-0
it was 2
I'm sorry
yeah. it was 2 yeah.
But it was still a hard pressed game. I was like holy shit the whole time. I was just like whoa. But it was great to have Tim Thomas do that shutout. That kind of sent them a message. But the game this past game was like hello, you sent the message, what the fuck, you know.
See, but I think
this is my message.
Yeah.
I think in sports, a lot of it is momentum. And when they got that 3-0 lead and they gave up those 3 goals, the momentum was on the Lightning side. And it's pretty hard to, you know, turn back the momentum when one team is playing so well, they're scoring their goals, they're playing
well. But that was the only other thing was that they were down in Tampa. They're down in Tampa, right?
Yeah.
They're down in Tampa. Yeah. So that's the only other thing is now we're coming back up into our territory. Which
well, yeah, not now.
It would be on Monday, they'll be up in our territory and stuff like that. So hopefully that will give us the better momentum along the way.
Yeah, I think it changed. I think I'm talking about the game. I'm not talking about the series. But I'm talking about when that, you know what I mean, when they give up those 3 goals, that really changes things. But now they can change that. The game's starting over new, and they can, you know, come out well and, you know, hopefully hold the lead. So, yeah.
Yeah, but as it goes, like, a lot of the thing is if you get the crowd and whatnot to go with you, yeah. Then you have a big power. I mean, that's how the Patriots win a lot of their games. When they're at home, there's no way to really shut us up unless, you know, something big happens and then we'll shut up.
Yeah.
But like when it was on the game on Thursday night and stuff like that, when I was watching that, the light at Tampa Bay was just shut. They were just shut down. The whole crowd was just, they were off.
See, that's why we're lucky that, you know, 2 out of the next 3 games are here in Boston.
Yeah, so you got Monday and Friday will be here in Boston, which I don't understand where you're going. Monday, and then back down to Tampa Bay, and then back to Boston. So, you know what? They make the schedule to fit for their own freaking pleasures. But that's crazy. But yeah, I mean, It's good to see that we've got at least two out of the seven series. That's
why home ice, I think, is so important.
Yeah, it's a very important thing. So,
because let's say, you know, well, whatever team wins this one is going to be at the disadvantage, because Vancouver's the number one on the West, so they'll have home ice advantage.
Yeah, that is true, but you know what? We'll take them on. We'll do our best to friggin' fight it through.
I'm praying for San Jose to win, because I just don't want to watch the games and hear O Canada.
Yeah, I don't want to hear O Canada either. And their beer sucks. Anyways.
Yes.
Next is...
We all know their beer sucks.
Yeah, we all know their beer sucks. But Canadian beer
sucks.
I really want the Canadian bacon thing to happen, where just full-scale riot. So now... Sox, right?
Yeah. First and foremost about last night's game, I couldn't believe how many Cubs fans there were at Fenway Park. I think they actually overtook Fenway Park. Yeah, dude.
Never. Yeah,
dude. I couldn't believe how loud they were cheering the Cubs for.
Oh no! See, Cubs fans are just fat, so they're full of hot air.
Yeah, they're able to produce, I guess, a lot more.
Oh, you saw how ugly they were. Vocalage.
I know they were ugly, but that doesn't, you know, mean...
No, people, you're super ugly, your mouth falls open, so it gets a whole, you know, megaphone thing going.
But still, I couldn't believe how loud they were cheering the Cubs.
Well, I think some of it had to do with the fact that for the game, they wore the old uniforms, they announced the player's name from the dugout. I think the historic aspect was why there was more Cubs fans at the game. I still think there was more fans from Boston, but it's a pretty big, you don't see that every day, where you have, you know, playing the game like it was in 1918, so I think that's why there was, you know, some Cubs fans.
We were wearing all white.
It was kind of funny when I saw that the uniform for the Red Sox, and I was just like, wait, Poppy's not wearing the Red Sox across the show. What
Francona,
the hell?
Francona had a white hat on, too. That is funny.
All that's missing were those giant mustaches.
Yep.
You know, a lot of the players didn't have them back then, right?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, he did. Two against one. I'm sorry. Two against one. Shut up. One.
He does count as two, you jerk.
Exactly. Because back in those days, they had standards for the way you looked as a player.
Mm-hmm.
Just like when Steinbrenner was still alive, he kept those standards.
He's thinking about more or less along the lines of the Pirates, because the Pirates, they used to have like the big friggin' ridiculous mustaches.
You know, they were naturally, a lot of American teams had standards of how your hair could look, how your face could look, and the Yankees are still the same way. That's why when Johnny Damon went, he had to cut his hair.
Yeah, same with,
you have to look a certain way.
Bambino, friggin' himself, he had to be, like, shaven, even though he was probably one of the most, probably disgusted guys out there, like, cigar in mouth and everything, so.
And if you ever look back at the old pictures, there wasn't much facial hair anywhere.
Yeah. Recently, what was it? I was watching one of those things on HBO, I think, with Brian Gumble there, the sports with Brian Gumble.
Yeah.
And apparently they brought up the thing about the chewing tobacco. Now, what do you guys think about that? Or dip, as they call it.
Well, I mean, it's up to them.
They want to get, you know,
because the guy they cancer, it's, I guess the, it's yeah, exactly. Out. Because the guy they showed, he dipped. Oh, man. Because what it was is they're trying to say the psychological, the value of watching the players that were either spitting something black out, you know, when they're like on the field and whatnot, and the kids thinking, oh, I've got to, if I'm going to play with a baseball player, I need to do dip. I mean, hell, remember the bubble gum?
Oh, yeah.
The big lead chew, the shred stuff like that. You just stick it in your mouth and you're like, ah, 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 the whole fucking game. And yeah.
So, yeah, they still sell that.
Oh, yeah, I know they still sell it. But I mean, I'm just saying, it's just one of those. Now. Yeah. It's one of those things where you're just like, holy crap. You know, because one of the kids that said, oh, yeah, he had no family background of cancer, no nothing. And he had, like, the highest level of friggin' cancer in his jaw and stuff like that. And the way that this guy, his face looked like it was folded in because of what they had to do they had to take out lymph nodes, they had to take out everything, like muscles in his neck because of how bad the cancer was.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's another scary thing to look at.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, I think that a lot of players do it, but it seems like everyone does it, so I think some players do it because it's just kind of commonplace. That's the way I look at it.
Now, I don't know if Vanville heard about this, but there was the other thing that they brought up that I felt was actually kind of a heartfelt story about with the Red Sox and whatnot, was the this girl, there's one of the base coaches, her daughter, no, his daughter, yeah. His daughter, was on a horse and got into a car accident, and apparently This wasn't just, this was actually kind of one of those things where you never think would happen, but members of the Yankees actually helped out putting money towards. Yeah, they all knew each other, but it's just, it's one of those things where it's like, holy shit, Yankees and Red Sox never thought this would
happen. Okay, so a horse?
Yeah, what it was is they were on their horses. They were on their horses. They lived down in Tennessee. The guy is a base coach.
Yeah,
and his you know family lives down in Tennessee. They were on the horses going, oh yeah, we're just gonna go over to our friends. So they were going, you know, they were gonna cross the road, and where they crossed the road, the car didn't see them and slammed into her and severed her leg.
You don't see.
No. Well, if you saw where it was, there's a hill.
I've read the article. I think I talked about it a long time ago.
But there was a hill.
Yeah.
And where it is where the hill was. It, you know, slammed in and the car slammed into her and severed her leg and whatnot. And believe me, it was a very, very touching story. But to see the, you know, Jorge Posada help in on that because apparently his kid is, you know, kind of effed up, but it's awesome to see that, you know, especially with sports and whatnot.
Do you know what it is? It all came to be because this coach and one of their coaches are like best friends.
Yeah, they were best friends back in the day with the lower farms and whatnot.
Yeah, so they went around the locker room, they collected money, and they sent down a card full of cash.
Which
is a really touching story, you know.
Yeah, but let's get back to the Red Sox.
That is Red Sox.
No, talking about the game.
We're talking about the game.
Fuck the game.
Well, you know, this has to do with the team.
We lost,
you know?
But for the most part today, today is going to be, they're going to be at 8 o'clock tonight, but you're
But dude, it was like deja vu with the Bruins. We are up like 3-0.
We're 3-1.
All right, so, okay, I'll talk about it. So, basically, Dice K... No, listen. We still have to talk about it. You're not going to ignore the whole game. So, Dice K is injured, and Alfredo Aceves stepped in to make start for the Red Sox.
Let's jump over to the injury to Dice K real quick.
Okay.
He actually injured a ligament in his elbow, which they put him on the DL as a precaution. When they did the MRI, they found out that had they not caught it this early, he would have required Tommy John surgery.
Which takes about a year, right?
A year to come back, and a lot of pitchers aren't the same. Some are, but most of them aren't. And they caught it early enough that the DL should actually save them. So we'll see what happens, but that's what you're saying.
Okay. So, Aceves, you know, pitched 5 innings, you know, not too bad. Gave up 1 run on the Red Sox side. Ortiz hit a home run, and the Sox are up 3-1.
Well, 2 things I want to throw in on this aspect now.
Yeah.
With Ortiz's home run, it was his 300th home run as a Red Sox. He's only the 5th person in Red Sox history to do that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Aceves hit the first batter of the game, which was Hiroki Kuroda. And then Marlon Byrd, when he was up, he actually hit him directly in the face.
Oh.
Yep.
He went down. He spent the night at a local hospital. He's expected to be fine at this time. They're going to let us know what the exact implications were from that hit. But in retaliation, Carlos Zambrano hit Euculus in the butt.
Oh!
And the umpire gave a warning.
I hate that.
The coach almost got thrown out for the other team.
Because
he's like, oh, they hit us once. They hit us twice. We only hit them once.
Yeah,
come
gave
on.
It two months.
So he's like arguing, saying that they should be allowed to hit one more of our batters before the warning was given out.
He's basically saying,
I'm surprised he wasn't like, two, one. Look, 2-1. Dude, he just gave him the horns and the middle finger at the same time. That was pretty cool.
The world's going to end. We'll rim up your ass.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We're here. Stupid Bible thumpers.
You know what would have been ironic if the rapture happened and it took all 3 of you and left me behind?
Wait, I have a question.
That would have fucked up.
Wait, what?
No, that would have been funny if he was the one that died and we were the ones that lived. It's like, you worshipped.
Wait. I have to ask a question. What is the rapture? I have no idea what you guys
It's the end of the world.
Oh, okay.
They call it the rapture.
Don't worry.
I've never heard that before.
You're okay.
That was an apocalypse or something like that.
It basically
I'm an atheist. I have to know about it.
But the funny thing is, the sign that they have hanging up in,
like, why am I square right now?
It actually says the Bible guarantees it. It's like, huh, I'm an atheist. I don't believe your Bible's true, and you just proved it.
Well, you see, it starts with an earthquake, birds, and snakes, an airplane, and sometimes Lenny Bruce is not afraid.
Wait, are you quoting REM?
Yes.
You jerk! Fuck. You know what? They were all doing that yesterday when I was on the listening to the radio, but you know what? Fuck that. Back to this.
Yes.
I don't know. I found it kind of funny that I woke up and first song I heard was Ain't No Grave by Johnny Cash. I'm like, oh crap, I'm going to die.
But anyway, the game goes on, and then we reached the eighth inning.
Okay, so the eighth inning brought in Matt Albers because Bard had pitched a lot in the past, so Francona didn't want to bring him in. And we ended up giving up 8 runs, and we lost 9-3, which is, you know, horrible. Because if we had won, we would have had first place to our own by half a game because of Tampa Bay losing.
And the Yankees won to make it a tie up there. And so, losing.
It was tough.
But I'm still happy that we climbed as far as we have.
Yeah, no, it is amazing, our winning streak. And today, Tim Wakefield, or tonight, pitches in the finale.
Now, as it stands, we're in third East. No, third.
Okay. They're tied for first, so they still both count as one.
Oh.
Yeah, that's one thing I did eventually learn.
Well, I always thought when two things are first, and then the next one is third.
Yeah, we're in third, I think.
Second.
Oh, well, okay, I guess technically. I guess you could say... Look, you can say second, yeah.
I'm a Sox fan. I'm calling it second.
All right. You can say either way. Okay. But, anyways.
Are you touching me?
No.
Your hand touched my knee. I feel violated.
But anyway, we got the game going on tonight at 8 o'clock with the Cubs. And
we have Tim Wakefield going against, we don't know.
I don't know.
Because they haven't announced their pitcher yet.
They said Jay Russell.
I thought they brought Tim Wakefield down as a relief pitcher.
They did, but he can make spot starts.
Okay.
Wacky's injured, so, you know, we have a couple pitchers injured, so we needed Wakefield to step up and pitch, and he can start, so that's probably
what he did most of his career, and he's on the all-time list for wins for the Red Sox. But they said Russell's actually going to pitch now?
Yeah, they say
like 1-4
right
or something. They say his record, or
because I know Russell's name was thrown out there. Saltalamacchio,
bring me to the Cubs website. I don't want to give them anything.
You know, is Saltalamacchio going to catch tonight? Right,
I believe so. But it was I'm trying to remember the guy's name. He played for Notre Dame as a wide receiver, but he got signed as a pitcher. Crap.
Who are you talking about?
The other guy that they had mentioned as a possible starter.
Oh.
All right. He played for Notre Dame as a wide receiver, but the Cubs picked him up as a pitcher.
Yeah. But let's move on with on to basketball.
Okay. So, the Heat versus the Bulls, that series, the Bulls won 85-75 on Wednesday to tie the series up. And LeBron was on his game, and Rose was contained for the most part. And game three is tonight. So I was just wondering, Anvil, what's your daily prediction?
The Bulls are winning tonight, and they're going to win the whole thing. I think the Bulls have it.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it could be a Bulls-Maverick championship.
The way I'm saying this, or the reason I'm saying this, is because, you know, the Heat, they have LeBron, they have D-Wade, but the Bulls have such a great defensive presence, and Luol Deng, who's been doing a pretty good job on...
Deng's been playing phenomenal.
Yeah, exactly, on LeBron. And then, you know, they have a great bench. They have Taj Gibson... They have, obviously, Derrick Rose. They have, a lot of good complementary players. So I think they just have the scoring necessary and also have the defense to take out the Heat. So yeah, that's what I would say about that. And I'm looking – it's a great series, but I'm obviously rooting for the Bulls. So should be good.
Yeah.
And then the Maverick and Thunder series. The Mav won on the road, 93-87. And Nowitzki didn't have the greatest game, but Sean Marion had a pretty good game with 18 points. And Jason Terry had a clutch jump shot late in the game. And game four will be Monday. Another great series there. But I just think Dallas is too good a team to lose to the Thunder. And Thunder are pretty young, and Dallas are pretty experienced.
So. Yeah, and in my opinion, out of the entire playoffs, it was of this moment, one of the players that isn't getting shown enough love, you know, for what he does, especially off the bench, is from Dallas, and that's J.J. Barea. Mm. He comes off the bench, and he plays phenomenally. He's one of the shortest guys in the league. He's actually a tiny bit shorter than Nate Robinson.
How about Muggsy Bogues? Is he shorter than him?
Well, Muggsy Bogues isn't playing anymore.
Is he shorter than him?
Muggsy Bogues was like 5'3", okay?
That's what I'm saying. Like, is he shorter than him?
No, he's taller than Muggsy Bogues.
Then what the fuck? He's not that short.
Yeah, but Muggsy Bogues isn't playing anymore.
I said in right now.
I don't care. I wanted to find out how short he was.
That's my answer to that. Shut up.
Yeah, no.
I win.
Which means everybody loses.
Yeah. Trying to pull it, Charlie Sheen here. But, yeah.
What? I'm going to wind up face down a bunch of coke with, you know.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
You're going to be like, winning!
You're beautiful. Whoa. Whoa. What is my host shaking? Is
there I want porn stars to raise my children.
Oh, wait, wait, wait.
I hate all of you!
Yes. I apply, Mr. Q's.
Yes.
Alright, let's move on.
Alright, let's move on.
Okay, let's move on to music. We got a couple concerts we're gonna
I don't like
about.
Music.
Would you like to go?
Yes. My God, my God, my God. I went and saw Guitar Wolf that last Sunday. When I mean last Sunday, I mean May 15th. Opening acts were Boston's Coffin Lids and a band from Tennessee known as Cheap Time. Both were awesome. Like, Coffin Lids was like a garage rock band with a type of like kick-ass like rock keyboard hot girl on there and
a giggity 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 goo.
Yep. And I'm trying to figure out, think of the best way to describe their overall sound. They've got kind of got that like sock hop meets Misfits type of sound to them.
How the fuck do you pull that one off? That is pretty kind of, that I don't know, that's just two different genres in my mind to bring to get that's weird.
Well, it's kind of like the Monster Mash, but more punkish.
Wait, was it kind of? Is it kind of like Herbie Hancockish? Like the electric?
No. Not really. No. This is not Herbie Hancockish.
All right, okay.
But they're called Coffin Lids. They're from the Boston area, and if you ever read that they're playing around this area, definitely check them out.
I don't want them.
The next band that came up were called Cheap Time. They're from Tennessee. They were another garage rock band, and they played nonstop for like 40 minutes. It was like. Song, not even breaking to, like, take a drink or anything.
Not even to go, hello, we're so-and-so. No.
It was, just rock and rock. I actually wound up buying their recent album, which is awesome. It's kind of like Harder Stooges.
And review will be coming soon, correct?
Hopefully. Hey, maybe what I can do is I can lend it to everybody and they can take a listen and see what they think of it, too.
Okay.
Then comes the main band. Lights go down. Ramones are blaring. All of a sudden, you start hearing motorcycles revving. And boom, here comes Ugg and Drum Wolf up to the stage, walking through the audience. They start tuning up. And then, all of a sudden, Guitar Wolf appears.
No shit.
He chugs down a beer. Drum Wolf combs his hair. And then they go right into machine gun guitar, and the whole place turns into a massive mosh pit. I shit you not. The whole club just was, like, pushing people around. I got thrown into a table. I bruised my hip and spine.
Too bad Anvil's wasn't in there. Otherwise, you know, you could have survived a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I hate church.
Yeah, I know.
Well, it's okay. Because it's now a smoldering crater because of this show.
Wait, it was at a church?
No.
It's called Live at the Church, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I went there not too long ago for another show, didn't like it. Love the show, hated the club.
Well, dude, this is like one of the greatest punk rock bands of all time.
Yep.
From Japan.
Well, not just from Japan. I mean, a lot of bands really look up to them. Like, you know the Von Bondies?
Yep.
Yeah, they actually started because the lead guy saw Guitar Wolf in concert and said, I want to do what these guys are doing.
Yeah.
Play music?
They want to be like Guitar Wolf. And these guys even started their own movie called Wild Zero, where they kill zombies and Guitar Wolf takes down a spaceship with a sword.
Yep.
Been done.
His guitar is a sword or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he pulls it out of his like guitar neck.
Yep.
Oh, Lord.
One of the most epic things ever. Now, at the concert, they played classics like Jet Generation, UFO Romantics, All Through the Night, Bato Basai, Wild Zero, and they even played a couple of new songs from their recent album, Space Battleship Love, which is actually available in America now. They started their own record company in the United States.
Finally, shit.
Called Guitar Wolf Records. And when they were done, they came out for a first encore, where they played Missile Me and Katana Fever. Then they left the stage. 2 minutes later, they come back onto the stage. Guitar Wolf goes, it's Sunday night! Go home! You got a job! And then they went into Kokosei Action, and Kokosei means high schooler.
Nice.
All of a sudden, he looks out into the crowd. He pulls up one person. He pulls up a second person. He pulls up nine people, and you wonder, what's he doing? He builds a human pyramid out of them and stands on top of them and does part of the song on top of the human pyramid.
That is sick.
Somebody at the bottom has a heart attack. The entire crowd falls. He breaks his neck.
Well, it's kind of funny because they put a bunch of skinny guys on the bottom and then they put like three bigger guys on the third one and then the second one, much bigger people, and then there's a little guitar wolf on top.
So this poor little skinny guy's like,
oh my god, my legs are going to give out!
Yeah, they did first, and then they reset up again, and then they succeeded.
No shit.
So, and after that, Guitar Wolf comes out again, just the main guy, Seiji, and does the song, I Love You, Okay.
Jesus, how long did this show go?
90 minutes.
Holy fuck.
That's it?
Well, it's pretty long.
Well, I mean, what time did it start? Because
it started at 10:30. And it ended at midnight.
Jesus! That you must have had fun getting to the trains and stuff like that, because...
Oh, no. I was with Mandy with the Stampede, so...
Ah!
We drove in together. We actually found a parking spot right in front of the club.
You lucky bastards.
It was in front of a fire hydrant.
Nope. We actually went, hey, is that okay? He goes, dude, you're in luck. That's like the best parking spot in the whole place.
Because they just removed the fire hydrant. Some old woman ran it over with her Cadillac. That's why the sidewalk's all wet. It's not raining.
Yep.
But everybody needs to see Guitar Wolf live. They are probably one of the best live acts to grace the world.
I'm all set.
Yeah.
Dude, you would have loved the mosh pit there.
I deny it. Mosh pits are awesome, but you see a lot of bands, you get a mosh pit.
But my issue, though, is that the Church of Boston was too small.
Yes, it is. That's why I said I don't like it.
It's too small. Next time...
How's it lose?
Well... I don't know if they could... I'll be honest.
House of Blues!
I don't know if they could sell out the House of Blues.
I think they could.
Then they're not that good.
Well, they're more underground, well-known type of thing.
Well, then, you know, we'll pop up in a sewer cap and put them in.
Yeah!
Did you just hit me?
Yes.
Yes, it did.
That was pretty funny. That's assault. I heard it over here.
I'm injured. Call 911.
I think next time they should play the Paradise.
Ugh.
Okay.
That's a nice thing.
What about Middleton? I mean, the middle. The Middle East. Middle East, yeah.
I think Middle East is still too small for them.
Okay. How big was the church?
It's 200 place capacity.
I thought 200
person
capacity. I thought the Middle East holds more.
They hold 500.
Then
why not? That's
too small for them.
That's still too small for them.
How about they took over up and downstairs?
That'd be impossible. They would need to have...
They could do it. They could do it, you fucking liar.
They would have to set up like a holographic thing so both times they'd be playing it.
It would work. It would work. Just shut up, it would work. Anyways.
The Palladium. No, Wilbur Theater? They're not cool enough for the Palladium.
Wilbur Theater?
Maybe the Wilbur Theater.
But that would suck with the chairs, though.
I think the Palladium they could play it. If they did like a co-headline... All right. If they did like a co-headlining tour with, say, like the Misfits, they could easily sell the Palladium.
They're not cool enough for the Palladium.
Dude, Guitar Wolf is cool for everything.
No.
All right. Anyways,
you'll never win that argument with me.
So, two thumbs way the fuck up, 5 stars all around. I knew you were gonna say that.
Yeah.
For the concert.
Best one of the. I do have to say, best concert I've ever been to.
But nice. Doesn't he say that almost every concert?
I do say that a lot. Yes, I know, but it's like.
It just keeps getting one-upped every time.
Yeah, well, you know, it doesn't help, you know, the cause of trying to convince me.
I think this would be a cool idea. I think Green Day and Guitar Wolf should do a co-headlining tour. Because both bands started out at exactly the same time. And it should be like, okay, it would be Green Day, Guitar Wolf. And then we'd have, like, another American band and a Japanese band. American band, Japanese band. It'd be, like, sort of like a summer sanitarium, but for punk rock.
Yeah.
Hosted by Green Day.
Doesn't sound too bad. All right. You want to get on to mine?
Yes.
All right. Well, on May 9th, it was a Monday. It was a Monday.
I'm glad to know that now.
I went to see Deftones. At the House of Blues, and it was kind of hard because of the fact that I did want to kind of watch the Red Sox game, but I don't know, but it was kind of great because you had the atmosphere of waiting out at the House of Blues and whatnot, and the people running around for the Red Sox game, so, but yeah, it was definitely,
It was a 1 out of 3 is the best that you could get out of this because of the fact that the other two bands that they had, like, opening acts, sucked. The first band didn't even mention their fucking name. They just played, like, a 30-minute set, and I was glad because they sucked. And I mean, like, that was the only other thing was it didn't, you know, understand where they were coming from. Like, their music just didn't flow correctly. I mean, the only person that was good on the band was the drummer. I said the drummer was probably one of the best, you know, people on the band. Mm-hmm. And then that was the thing was is the guy who was a singer on his microphone, he had an antler hanging off with a string. And of course, he was waving it around, and I was just like, please poke your eye out, please poke your eye out, and he hit himself in the cheek with it, and I went, damn, he missed. But of course, he was like, halfway through the song, like, oh, I hit myself in the face. So yeah, he was a dumb fuck. So I can't even comment on what band that is, but with my luck, that they'll end up really fucking popular 2 years down the road, and I'll go, wow, they suck dick. Then... this band does not have the capabilities of being called Dillinger, let alone Escape Plan. Dillinger's Escape Plan, okay, I did get to listen to finally one of their like YouTube music videos and whatnot. Give it to them on that. Yes,
they actually
on that.
Sound pretty good on the music video, but how is the live experience?
The live experience sucked dick. It just was horrible. I mean, how bad can you be? Like, every 2 seconds was... and you're like, what the fuck is he saying? I don't understand. Exactly. Yeah, so it was just really bad. The bassist scared the shit out of me because of the way he danced. He would step in this odd way. He looked like he was a spider, and he was fucking his bass at the same time. And apparently, I feel bad for his grandmother because she recently passed away, and they're like, we dedicate this song to her. And I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you guys? So, I think there was only one song that my friend and I, that when we went there, we only heard one actual word out of there was daylight or something like that. And then the rest of the song, you just couldn't hear anything. It was just screaming. I know we were close to the stage, but it was just absolute hard. And the other thing that sucked was... where we were standing, we were on the side, and there's the block or something like that, and the security liked to stand up on that just to see over the crowd and stuff like that, so we had to deal with that. And then the only other thing is the guitarist thought he was really fucking cool, climbed up on the speaker side, got up on the posts that are on, like, the second floor on the House of Blues, and hung over while doing his, like, music thing. I do have to say I was impressed that he was able to pull himself back up out of that situation because of the fact of where he was. I was just waiting for him to land on his head. And I would have been like, yes! You're dead, you stupid fucker! Done! The other thing, before I get onto the Deftones, the other thing that sucked about the concert was the people that were at the concert. They were just absolute fucking morons. I don't even think some of them were actually from Boston.
Okay.
I have to say that...
Would you say that they are as smart as or dumber than Juggalos?
Shit, it's about the same.
About the same?
Because of the fact that I had one guy that was in front of me with his girlfriend, and he was an Asian guy, and apparently he already had too many drinks before he came in, and he had some more. So he's like, the whole fucking time, and this guy that looks like Che Rivera is fucking walks by, and he's trying to get past him, and he's just like, no, fuck you, man. He's trying to fight him, like, literally, like, he's, like, talking to him, and, like, my buddy and I were just sitting there laughing the whole fucking time because this guy is trying to fight him, and then he finally stands up on the block, and the security finally kicks his ass out, and I was like, yes! So that was, like, kind of the triumph. Then, of course, there was the rhinos, as we called them. There was these women that looked like blimps mixed with fucking really small clothing, and they thought they were hot, and we were about to puke.
So they were a gang of Kirstie Alleys.
Yes.
How many numbers did you get?
I didn't get any.
I'm surprised.
Fuck you!
Hey.
I don't like women that much.
That much.
That much, alright? That very little. Very little. But for the most part... it was that, and then there was the other really hot girls that thought they were hot, but they were pretty fucking hideous. They were skinny. Well, the one that I would have to say was skinny and tall, she was fine. The blonde one, around so much. Her face was hideous.
Real Housewife of Jersey.
They were all just like, tick, click, 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 click. They were taking pictures. I was like, what the fuck? You guys aren't that hot. Stop taking pictures. But then finally, Deftones came on and everything went pretty good. Deftones was... seeing Deftones live was an awesome experience. It was great to see the whole just band setup. You know, when they do the setup, he has like this little ramp. The lead singer, what's his name? Chino? Yeah, Chino. Chino, like on the front, they put up like this thing, and then they duct tape like a ramp thing, and he runs up it, and it looks like he was just going to run off into the crowd and just jump into the crowd half the time.
And so like, Evel Knievel without a bike.
Yeah, he was going to do Evel Knievel without the bike, definitely, but that gives him that little stage area himself so he could stand up and get above the crowd. And, you know, I can't even remember half the songs they played, but there were a lot of their old songs. Like, they didn't really play any of the new songs from, what is it, Satellite or something like that, the new album. They were like, oh, yeah, we'll play one, and they played it, and it was pretty good, but... I have to say, the stuff that they were projecting on the back and everything like that, the music flow is awesome when they're playing the stuff that's in the back.
Now, did they talk about Chi at all? How he's been doing?
Who?
The bassist, the one that's been in and on again, off again, coma.
No, they didn't say anything about that. They were just playing, and they don't want to mention probably any shit like that. They didn't, you know, that's stuff that's in the background. That's personal, so. Right. But I mean, for the most part, they were doing a great, you know, onset. Although it was funny because of the fact that there was the mosh pit that was going on half the time.
Mm-hmm.
There was this one guy that kind of pissed me off. Two guys that pissed me off. One guy, you would see him in the crowd. He was fully clothed when the mosh pit started. Second, like, he would go around, like, you could see him. It was like he was going around in, like, the toilet of the fucking, you know, of the mosh pit. And then all of a sudden you see him go, whoa! And he'd get lifted up, and then he'd get tossed to the front part of the stage. He missed his shirt the first time. Second time, I saw him get picked up again. His shoes were getting thrown all around everywhere. Third time, he came back with the only boxers on. I was like, what the fuck is
wrong?
Don't
get picked up again!
I was like, dude, don't get picked up! Yeah, I don't want to see your naked ass, man. And then there was another guy who he got picked up, and of course, because apparently where I was standing was the flow of, like, when you get picked up out of the crowd, that's where you're supposed to be going, I guess, to get back into him. Asshole tries to jump over the railing, bounces back into me. I punched him in the back of the fucking head and then pushed him over the railing because I was just like, dude, you just fucking bumped into me and you can't get under the railing? What, you're too fat? So, yeah, I was pretty fucking pissed. I was actually wanting to go into the mosh pit, but I think I would have gotten wrecked because there were some serious heavy hitters.
Now, at my Guitar World concert, it got so bad. Well, one of the guys that was moshing had too much to drink, was starting to try to fight people. Security came in, brought him to the back room, and started wailing the shit out of him. Did anything like that happen?
No, but the security did talk to the bimbos. The rhinos, the Asian guy that was in front of me that was trying to start a fight. There was a couple incidents that there were, like, you know, people that got picked out of the crowd. But there was, you know, it was pretty decent for a concert, but there was the morons, so.
Was the mosh pit like the one when we went to the, Roxy?
No, nobody's knee got broken. But for the most part, it was a good-sized mosh pit that went especially near the end. And then, also another one that he did, is it Kate? No, Katie Morgan? No, what's her name? Whoever does fireworks.
Katy Perry,
thank you. Katy Perry, apparently, when he was singing one of the songs, he went into the actual Katy Perry song, Fireworks, for a second. Of course, my friend didn't catch it. I was yelling at him the whole way home, like, dude, you didn't catch him singing fireworks in the middle of the thing, and there was a mosh pit going on. You didn't see that, and it was pretty funny. But even a couple other people that were on the train with us were like trying to get on our friend about it. But it was a pretty good night. I was pretty freaking deaf about it, and of course I had to do a sound check on an event the next morning, so I was having a fun time. Going, all right, sound check, is that too low or too high? I can't tell anymore right now. And then my hearing came back at the right moment and was able to take care of the event. But for the most part, Deftones is an awesome band live. I just don't think their front runners that they have put out there, they just suck. They just were horrible. Dylan, and you know what? I might give Dillinger's Escape Plan a second go, you know, maybe listen to their music, but live, they just were horrible.
Mm.
Next.
So, shall we move on to movies?
Yes.
Movies.
All right. Well, Nenny and I, along with our other friend Teresa, we went to the midnight showing of Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides at the IMAX at Jordan's.
Jordan's!
First and foremost, 3D in this film was really good.
Okay, because they recorded in 3D, correct?
Yes. So everything really popped out at you.
Alright.
You saw the stabbing, you saw...
wasn't any penises, right? Right.
No. Otherwise, this has been NC-17. This is a PG-13 movie.
Well, I mean, Sacha Baron Cohen came up with a movie that had all kinds of penises. And it was
It was called Bruno.
Yeah.
Ah!
Let's never speak of that again.
Thank you.
Okay.
Well, you like Borat, too, didn't you?
Well, I love Borat, but there was, you know, there was only one penis scene, and that was blocked off because of the giant little sensor that they put on Sacha Baron Cohen.
I don't know, because I actually heard that you bought that bathing suit.
Nope.
Well, he's trying to assault me all day.
Hey, yeah, I mean, look at it. He's trying to paper cut you. That would have been... You would have been done.
Dude, that's Chinese torture right there.
By the way...
Geneva Convention!
Anyway.
But in Pirates 4, Johnny Depp goes on a quest to find the Fountain of Youth. And he runs into one of his...
Stop poking people!
Hey, those paper...
He runs into what?
He runs into an old flame, Angelica, played by the sexy Penelope Cruz.
Giggity, giggity.
Who turns out to be the daughter of Blackbeard, played by our favorite actor, Ian Al Swearinger McShane. And no, he didn't say cocksucker every other minute.
Oh, really? Wow, that's a shock.
It was every 2 minutes.
But he hears about a fake Captain Jack Sparrow from his father, played by Keith Richards, and it turns out to be Angelica in disguise as Captain Jack Sparrow.
Really?
Okay.
And then suddenly Captain Jack is knocked out and he finds himself on Blackbeard's ship going towards the Fountain of Youth. And the first thing they gotta do is they gotta find a mermaid because they need to collect her tears to in order to use the Fountain of Youth. Because how the Fountain of Youth works is one person drinks it, two people have to drink it. One has to sacrifice the life, the other one gets the life.
Oh, great, it's one of those again.
Yep. But meanwhile, Barbossa, played by Jeffrey Rush, is also on the search for the Fountain of Youth, but also to seek revenge on Blackbeard because Blackbeard sank the Pearl, which he was in control of, and he lost his leg.
No shit.
So he's now working with the British Armada or whatever you want to call it, but just for the sake of taking on Blackbeard.
Now, just to kind of interrupt you for a second.
Okay.
With the people that are, you know, like, that are probably rabid fans of this, to a person that probably was living under a rock and whatnot, should they see all the other movies before this one?
Honestly, I don't think you really need to see the first three, because this is like the start of a new trilogy.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, okay.
If you want to be familiar with the characters of Barbossa, Jack Sparrow, and such, then yeah, you'll want to watch the first three. But it's not necessary.
Okay.
Because I saw the third one without seeing the first two, and I was totally lost. But you're saying this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there you go.
Okay. All right.
So they're searching for the Fountain of Youth. And I don't want to spoil anything about this film, but it's pretty good.
They find it.
Oh yeah, they do find it, so but they... I don't want to spoil what happens when they find it.
Why?
They drink.
No.
I spoiled.
Nope, the Spanish appear and something happens.
Why? Yeah. Why is Keira Knightley?
Whoa. We lay claim to this! But no, Keira Knightley's not in this, and neither is
Orlando Bloom.
Why is that, though?
Because the characters are not in the movie.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, they kind of went their own separate way. Like, at the end of, the third one, it was kind of left to be that way. You know, she's going to live on, the land, and every, 7 years he comes back, and
It's like, yeah, it's every 7 years or some shit like that.
But it's the heart.
Is it because she didn't sign on to it, or just because her character wasn't in the movie? It's my question.
I don't think they signed on to it.
Okay.
I think it's as simple as that.
Okay.
That's why they needed Penelope Cruz.
Now, there's one issue I have with this movie, and it was the lacking of character development. Granted, you get to learn a lot about Angelica, but I felt that Blackbeard was kind of wasted. I felt like you could use any other pirate, and it would still have been the same movie. But because they used Blackbeard, you would have expected to learn a lot more about his background, why he is, or how he is. But you really don't.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to tell you the secret. He's a bad pirate.
Why is he a bad pirate?
Because he didn't have loving parents.
You don't know that.
His parents slapped him around.
Yeah,
basic serial killer.
But of course, they have to use Ann McShane. Ann McShane, he's been in a lot of shows to movies lately where he's just an awesome bad guy, just all together, or otherwise he's an awesome good guy.
He's got a cool voice.
He plays the coach in Death Race.
Yep.
He was in Sexy Beast, too.
Yeah, he was in Very Sexy Beast. Don't make fun of that. That was a good movie.
Yes. He was Teddy Bass.
Where'd you go, Blue?
He's also on the show Deadwood and whatnot. Al Swearinger.
He's a badass
motherfucker, and of course he was dropping like the F word and any swear word like every 2 seconds, so
yep.
He's a hero in my book. But for the most part, I bet he did an awesome job. He did a great job. But it's just that there's no structure and whatnot towards his thing.
Yes.
Now what I was kind of able to watch a little bit of the behind the scenes with my movie channels, and apparently Barbarossa is on the playing for the other side now.
That's what I meant. He's on the British Armada.
So, what caused him to go from him being the swashbuckling pirate to I'm playing for the other team now?
Just for vengeance.
Ah, okay.
Just to get Blackbeard and kill him.
Okay.
And the only way to do that is to join up with the Brits.
Yeah.
But altogether, okay, I would say I would rate this movie between the second Pirates and the first Pirates. Like, the first Pirates was really good, but there were some structure issues. The second Pirates was great all out. Third Pirates was, like, on the bottom because I felt like they fit in way too much shit. And it just dragged in a bunch of places. I felt like this one is like the second best Pirates movie.
Yeah.
So I can give Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides.
Out of five,
4.3.
Okay, that seems fair.
But like I said, they need to do a lot better in regards to character development.
If you transcend it to the IMDb right now, it's 7.3 out of 10 as of right now.
Which isn't bad.
Which is not bad considering.
Okay. Now,
movie.
On separate occasions, Anvil and I saw the movie Bridesmaids.
Yes.
Why don't you talk about what the movie's about?
Somebody's getting married. About the Bridesmaids.
Go on.
And then.
Damn, I have dupe as my car stuck in my head right now. Yeah. So, basically what happens is, you have two best friends since they were, like, wee little lasses.
Yeah.
And they grow up and one of them gets engaged. The other one is just in empty relationships with, mainly with some dude that's just using her for sex.
Played by John Hamm, of all people.
Yes, who turns out to be the world's largest douchebag.
Mm-hmm.
That's the nicest way of putting it.
Yeah, David Blaine was the world's largest douchebag.
No, if you see him in this movie, you'd give him the world's largest. So, as it goes through, you get introduced to different characters, and I'm sorry, I don't know who she played, but it was the larger lady.
Oh, I think, okay, I don't know her name
either.
Heifer?
But the one that,
damn, that's a huge
name. Megan?
Yeah, Melissa McCarthy from Mike and Molly.
That's it. Oh. Now, she was absolutely hilarious. Mm-hmm. Like, truthfully, this movie was funny. If you took her out of it. If you put her in it, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
She had some of the funniest scenes in the entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
The dress scene.
Yep.
From when they first walked into the bathroom.
Yeah.
Granted, Maya Rudolph, I think, still had the funniest part of the dress scene.
Yeah. I'm going. This is really happening.
I'm just doing it in the street. Blue just stops typing. He's like, what? Then... I think her funniest scene in the entire movie had to have been the airplane scene.
Yeah, well, Iron Man, you're an Air Marshal, aren't you? I got your back.
I'm not an Air Marshal. I'm going to take a nap now.
I'll do first watch.
I'm not an Air Marshal. I'll take the first watch. So, where do you hide your gun, huh? You know, hip, ankle, butt. You know, do you tape it in between your ass? You know, because I did a lot of people, and, you know, they got, like, duct tape marks on their ass.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you put your gun in your ass? What if you had to get it? You cut a hole in your back pocket and you reach in.
That's bad.
But I want to mention that in this movie there are two British actors that I'm really excited to have seen in this film. First is Chris O'Dowd, who played Officer Nathan.
Isn't he Irish?
Yes. Well,
he's English.
Yeah, he's Irish.
And he actually speaks in full Irish dialect.
Yeah. Well, he's from...
Broke, if you want to be a target.
Yeah. Well, he is from Ireland. But Chris O'Dowd, he was in Pirate Radio.
He was the one
who got married on the ship, and the woman was like, oh, by the way, I'm just here because I want to sleep with the other guy.
Okay. Yeah,
okay. And he is also the star of the TV show The IT Crowd.
Ah, yeah, that's true.
But one of my favorite British sitcoms.
I truthfully loved the way that he went back and forth with Kristen Wiig.
Yeah.
You know, their little side thing was awesome and hilarious at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I'm driving and texting. I'm on the phone.
I don't care.
I'm littering.
Don't care.
Reckless endangerment.
And then he just goes... tap to the police car.
Oh, are you about to be kidding me?
And the other British actor that was in this film was her roommate, Gil. It's Matt Lucas from the TV show Little Britain. And if you've never seen Little Britain...
He creeped me out, but not as much as the girl that played his sister.
Yeah.
She was disgusting. And that tattoo, oh my God.
That was really horrible.
There's one scene, she's like... I was walking down the street and somebody asked me if I wanted a tattoo for free. And I said, sure. And they opened up the van and he gave me a Mexican tequila worm. It goes like this, and on the back it shows the face of a worm with a sombrero holding tequila, but it's all infected and gross. She's like, you might want to put some, go to the doctor. The brother's like, oh, put some ice on it. She's like, yeah, like peas. And all of a sudden, like, you see the two talking. She's in the kitchen, bent over. She's dumping peas down her back. She's like, in the bag.
Now, did you recognize who played Maya Rudolph's fiance?
That was, what's his name? I recognize him.
It's Tim Heidecker from Tim and Eric's awesome show, Great Job.
Yeah, okay.
And you, of course, you recognize Terry Crews, right?
No.
No, no.
You cannot, you never can recognize Terry Crews. There's no fucking way.
You cannot, recognize the former NFL playing actor.
Mm-hmm. Which I feel bad for him because he's stuck in that stupid Are We There Yet show.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I think he's now in limbo right now. We could call him that.
Yeah. But...
Apes in limbo.
But altogether... Well, one of the things I noticed, too, because I went with my sister, and it's so funny how women react to different things than men. Like, there's that... Okay, the second time where you see... Annie Walker's failed bakery, and it's in the face. My sister's just going, oh.
And we're laughing.
And I'm laughing, cock baby, and there's a penis drawn there.
it was called,
Cake Baby.
Cake Baby, and the, a couple of letters had fallen off.
Oh.
So somebody climbed up there with the, spray paint and wrote cock, and then where the hand was holding the,
the cake.
No, on the other hand was the spatula, the, spoon. They turned into a penis in her hand. And I found it hilarious.
Yeah, but the women in there were like, "Oh,
I don't know. The show I went to, everybody was laughing. Like, the entire movie.
Yeah.
There weren't, like, any real dry spots.
Okay, I think I can agree with you on that, because the parts where you would think are dry are like the life lesson moments.
Yeah, but, like, you're getting ready for, this is going to be dry, and then a joke comes flying in.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want you to OD in those.
I have to OD.
Like, you know, all of a sudden it's like, you know, hey, look, it's a Brazilian barbecue. And you're like, oh, this part's going to be boring. All of a sudden the little dog comes and goes like, oh!
Someone was taking the hospital for ODing on
right.
So, I mean, they threw the little stuff in there. Truthfully, in the last, you know, quite a few years, this is the second funniest movie I think I've seen. Next to Hangover. And I would put it up there.
Okay, I can see where you're going. Granted, I have seen funnier movies since, but I do have to give credit where credit is due. I think this is the first time where I've seen like a female driven film that was this funny.
I think that's why I'm giving it more credit than some of those other films is because it was all female.
Because no one really gives women a chance to really be funny and hilarious in the way
and disgusting at the same time.
Exactly, yes. And they truly took it and. That's what I think I love about this movie. So
and it wasn't like, ugh, disgusting. It was like, haha, disgusting.
Oh, that's gross. Oh my god, really?
Yeah. This is really happening.
It has Maya Rudolph in it. What do you expect? Anyways.
I mean, when, you know, the big old lady shoves her leg up and it's like over the dude's head.
Come on, MacGruber. I mean, no. Seriously.
Wait.
Naked dry humping.
Ready? Yeah. Look at his face. You're all about to see his face change. You mean, you want a footlong sandwich?
Oh no. Yeah.
You have to see the end of the movie. You have to see the end of the movie to get that.
Oh, it's so disturbed. I can't eat a sub for a while.
Hey, want to go to Nicky's?
But I think I can give Bridesmaids a 4.2 out of 5.
Okay, see, I'm giving it a little bit higher, you know. I'm giving it a 4.8 out of 5. Just because they could have done a little bit more with certain parts.
And that's why I'm giving it the 0.2, not the 0.8.
But I'm raising it so high because it was, like you said, a female-driven comedy that hit its mark.
Yeah.
You know, near the end, you know, I'm not going to give too much away, but I would have loved to have seen her fully come around in full circle, you know, open the bakery again and actually push it a little bit more.
Well, I think that's what's going to happen with her and Chris O'Dowd's character.
Exactly, but they don't show it.
Right.
And I think I would have liked to have seen that and, you know, seen a little bit more about these characters because some of them you're sitting there like, yes, this is my husband, and then you don't see the husband the rest of the movie.
Right.
I would have loved to have seen a little bit more dialect between that.
Yeah.
Instead of, look, this is him, and he doesn't even say a word, he just waves.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see him at the end of the movie, and he waves.
Hey.
See? Look, you just get paid to do a movie.
Hey, yeah. I was raising my hand. But anyways,
that's a question.
Well, seeing that we're on movies and whatnot, can we still kind of mention, seeing that you guys are going to see Hangover Part 2 within the next week and whatnot?
Yeah.
How about this whole thing with the Mike Tyson tattoo issue that was going on?
I think it's bullshit. It's just a guy that just wants more money that he doesn't deserve. It's a fucking tattoo that I bet you hundreds of other people have emulated.
Tried to emulate or try to make the same, yeah, so.
I mean, it's a tribal tattoo, so technically the Irish should be selling because Celtic tribal. Alright, I'm filing a lawsuit against the guy that did it.
I mean, can't Tyson just give him his pigeons instead?
Yeah, there's always the pigeons, yeah.
Pigeons.
And a tiger, don't forget the tiger.
And tiger, yeah, pigeons and tiger, I'm sure that's worth a lot.
I want the tiger.
But yeah, I definitely wish I could go and get a chance to watch this movie, but because it looks absolutely fucking hilarious. But,
yes.
But I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to get to watch this, but you guys seem like you guys are going to be able to.
Well, like I said, we can try to do, if there's an early Saturday morning.
No!
Yeah, but I wouldn't be able to do the early Saturday morning.
He couldn't do it.
Oh, that's right, because of the concert.
Yeah. So don't worry about me. You guys watch whatever you can see.
I mean, truthfully, if you guys want to go early Saturday morning, I can catch it on my own.
Yeah.
Okay.
How about Friday? Anybody?
I work 3 to 10, but...
All right, shut up. Anyways, let's go back to the thing.
And what's I'm leaving right from work to head out towards the concert.
What's all next?
All right.
Do we have time?
I think we have one time for this. Sega Rally Online Arcade.
Oh, that sucked. Why are we going to end it on a sucky note?
Because sometimes we do need to end it on a sucky note.
No.
Sucky, sucky?
$5.
I have an issue with this, with the demo of this game, because I haven't tried the full one. I feel like it's a cop-out that they only give you one car and a one single lap race.
And it's a Subaru.
Yes.
Ugh.
No, but it's that sexy blue Subaru.
I was going to do it. What makes a Subaru a Subaru? I always love that guy that can't talk and can't say Subaru, so he's a Subaru.
Yeah.
But when I see demos come out like this, or trials come out like this, it makes you think they're hiding really bad gameplay.
Yeah.
Me too.
But this is one of those things that it's going to be a downloadable game, correct?
Oh, yeah. It's available now.
It's available now. You can download it, what, I don't know if it was 1,200 or 16.
Ooh. I think it was just 800.
Oh, really? Because that's the thing. I've played a lot of the Sega Rally games before that, even like PlayStation, 1 and whatnot. I love the game and their games and whatnot. This game just did not have the fluid motion that they usually have. If they're trying to go up against dirt, they've got another thing coming to them.
Yeah, granted, I will give it to them for the graphics, especially with like the mud
graphics. Yeah, I mean, yeah, the mud slinging was pretty good, yeah. But for the most part, I felt that the car didn't handle as well as it could have. Like, if you move the stick, the whole car moved itself. It's not like how a car would actually act.
Yeah.
I mean, especially when you're racing through like courses and whatnot. I think right now, seeing that Codemasters have done such a great job with like the Dirt series, and especially when they did Grid, they've hit the nail on the head on they're the ones that have created the cookie cutting sheet for racing games now.
Yep.
And a lot of people need to look up to them. I mean, if you take a look at Need for Speed, the only one that I find that's been respectable lately is Hot Pursuit. Hot Pursuit has been like the only most respectable, and that was because of DICE is in on that.
Yeah. But they did a great job with that.
They did a great job with that. But now they're going to be coming out for Need for Speed Shit. I mean, Shift 2. Because of the fact that game I just didn't like. It doesn't move fluid. I mean, you have to play it in hard in order to really experience the game and whatnot. Where when you're playing like Dirt and whatnot, you can play it on easy and you can experience the fucking game.
Mm-hmm.
It won't hinder your freaking turning and stuff like that. Need for Speed, yes, it teaches you the concept of when you're taking turns and whatnot, to go fast, slow down, basically stop, and when you're taking this turn. Yeah, fine, great, and everything like that. I'll learn that on my own when I'm racing the fucking car. Not, oh, okay, it's easy. They basically help you through the whole turn. Like, they will slow down the vehicle. You can hold down that trigger as hard as you want. It will slow down the car for you personally just to get you through a corner. I was like, fuck that. That is not the way you're supposed to be racing. You're supposed to race out balls to the wall, and if you fucking crash or whatnot, so be it. And Codemaster has that, except for when they did that kind of setup for the Formula One racing. That one I was kind of upset with.
Yeah, from F1 2010.
That one kind of was disappointing, but for the most part,
I feel like with that one, you needed the wheel controller in order to really play that game. And that's an issue that I had with Gran Turismo 5. You need the wheel controller.
Along with that, I think that seeing that they've been doing the Dirt series, they need to just take a step back one time and go back to Grid and create another Grid game. Because that was actually an awesome game series, well, by itself. But for the most part, right now, Dirt has it over any game that I could see. That's the only thing. I mean, I know this was one of those downloadable games and for Sega Rally and stuff like that. Which I have one of the, Sega Rally Evo or something like that I bought a little while back. And that game is actually good. I've played it, and I play it, on and off once in a while, but still it's not up to snuff as to the fact of how Codemasters have put their games together.
Well, it looks like they are making Grid 2.
Yes! Thank you!
And they're going to be using, it's called the Ego 2.0 engine. And who knows, they might have something at E3 when I go in a couple weeks.
Fantastic. Screw you. Anyways, but for the most part, I'm liking this to see that DICE is getting into more things along the ways. There's DICE 2 now or something like that. Their newer engine set up, so you kind of were able to experience that in, I think, Bad Company 2. So
right.
So I'd like to see that come out, and then Codemasters, if they're doing what they got to do, I'm hoping that there's going to be a lot more sexier, games that come from them.
Right.
So, yep. Okay. I think I'm done.
All right. I think that about wraps up today's episode.
Yeah!
Remember, visit our website at bostonbashbrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew. If you have any comments, questions, and if there's anything you want us to talk about, you can reach us at thebastards at bostonbashbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter at king_baby_duck. And you can follow Anvil at Anvil63. I don't think the two of you have Twitter accounts yet.
I still don't believe in that shit.
I know, I tried out Twitter, but I'll try and...
I opened it, and I've written like 5 things over 2 years.
Yeah.
My first thing that lasted an entire year was, I want pepperoni pizza.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
It's like 2 o'clock in the morning.
That's right, no one really follows me. It's almost like I'm writing to myself, but I'll figure something else.
Actually, a lot of the pro sports teams are following me now. NFL added me, UFC added me. I'm like, what?
Yeah. You're
following me now?
Giggity, giggity. Now you're gonna have to start saying more.
I know. I just need that contract now. You gotta
like Brock Lesnar's a bitch. UFC's no longer following you.
We're also on MySpace.com, seeing that nobody uses that anymore. Anyways, along with that, we're on Facebook. You can go on to Facebook. You just type up in the bar Boston Bastard Brigade, and you'll find us probably by the time you get into Bastard.
Yes.
For the most part, and you could contact us on there, give us ideas, you know, along with checking out some of the stuff that we've put up between, the shirts and whatnot.
Yeah.
You know, we're working on that as well.
There's even an email address you can reach us on the Facebook page. Yeah. BostonBashBrigade@groups.facebook.com.
Yep.
That's a lot of writing.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. No, we're still working on trying to cut down the little thing. But, yeah, for the most part, we've got it.
Mm-hmm.
You.
And check out our sisters at the Electric Sisterhood at esh.mobi. Go over, show them some love. We're there, check out Geekagro. And also check out our friends at Gamer Reaction at gamerreaction.tv.
Yeah.
Soon-to-be.com. And also check out our friends, The Issues Guy, at The Issues Guy on Facebook.
Yep.
And JC Sargent.
And don't forget our buddies, The Vagabonds, who were on last week.
Look, man, y'all are adding way too much on my list.
With that, Matt the Rod. From Design with Charm.
You don't have to say the whole list all the time. You can just, choose, your favorite.
That's not what you told me, man. You told me I had to do the whole list all the time.
Whole list or die. All right. I think we're good.
Okay. So, until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
Mr. Cuse.
Motherfucker. Blue-otic.
Anvil. Sorry. You know, I said it earlier, and you all start throwing my name at me, so I figured I'd wait this time.
Anvil.
Saying sayonara, bitches. We are the bastards!
He's not a king, he's a queen.
I'm the king, motherfucker.
Queen.
King.
Queen.
King.
Queen.
King.
Queen.
King.
The tower of power, too sweet to be sour, I'm funky like a monkey. Sky's the limit and space is the place.